Walking with Melancholy by Heather Plett. Melancholy must have snuck through the door while my daughter was leaving. I was busy tidying up, so I didn't notice her at first. But then she plopped down beside me when I paused from the work. Loneliness will be here again this weekend, she reminded me. And you have so many more lonely days ahead of you when the last of your daughters moves away. I wanted to chase her away with a long to-do list or smother her with food and Netflix, but I'd done that often enough to know that would only prolong her visit. Instead, I sat down with her for a while and listened. I let her remind me of how quiet it is in the house when there are no other voices but mine. I let her spin through the reels of memories of this house filled with the sounds of growing children. I didn't stop her until she wanted to open the door to let in her frequent companion, self-pity. I could hear the two of them whispering through the crack in the door about how nobody would ever love me and I would be forever lonely. Divorced and unlovable, self-pity hissed through the crack. But I turned away, determined not to get attached to the story she brought. "Let's go for a walk," I said to Melancholy, rising from the couch. "I promise I won't send you away. I would just rather be with you outside in the snow." It was strategic. I knew self-pity preferred to be sedentary and wouldn't bother with the effort it would take to follow us. Begrudgingly, Melancholy pulled on her boots and parka and we headed outside just as the sun was beginning to set. "Twilight," she said, looking around at the empty sidewalks and quiet homes. "It's the perfect time for me, sadness, and solitude. It reminds us of the way good things always end." "Yes," I said, "like the ending of this era of my motherhood." Then I added, to remind her I hadn't abandoned her, "You're an easier companion to me out here, where I can move and breathe and the walls don't threaten to close in and trap me in a never-ending waltz with you and your less enjoyable friends." We walked to the nearby frozen river. We watched as the sun tinted the edges of the sky into ombre shades of oranges and pinks, and we crunched through the glowing snow. She stayed with me, stubbornly insisting I not leave her behind. Gradually, though, she became quieter and less insistent on holding all of my attention. Further down the path, where fewer footsteps had flattened the deep snow, a deer scrambled up the embankment by the river. I stopped with wonder to watch it, as I always do. That's when I noticed that Melancholy was turning away and preparing to slip into the woods behind me. "I think it's time for me to go," she said gently, and then waved farewell. "Thanks for spending some time with me." Out from behind a tree peeked Contentment, who smiled as she pointed toward the other three deer, joining the first one on the embankment. We stood together for a while, watching the deer as they watched us, and then, when they had tired of us, Contentment and I walked further into the snowy woods. Reflections. How do you entertain and then release melancholy when she comes? How does your body and or nature help you to not get too attached to emotions? How can you invite wonder into your life?